Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we are back for On the Bench on a pain-free Friday night. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 159. Good to have you aboard with us as we are taking in all the live action, getting ready for the weekend too with college football and the NFL. Some NBA. The Nuggets are now taking it out on the Hawks, Maf, 94-81. They lead in the fourth quarter. The Warriors now up ahead of the Bulls, but they're going back and forth. It's 41-38 at the moment in San Fran at the Chase. And the Lakers are out to a 23-15 lead over the Timberwolves. It is amazing, Mafia, to me, with the T-Wolves. Like, they have talent, but it's the same story again. It's like every night I'm watching some big game from Anthony Edwards, or I'm watching Cat Towns have a good day. They have D'Lo. They have... Like, they're 3-7 again. Like, what goes on there? Like, is it the water? I don't understand it. They actually have some talent, and they still suck. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they're getting the talent, but they're not getting talent that can gel together. We saw that with Wiggins and Cat when they were there. You know, I think we saw Anthony Edwards call the guys this year saying these guys care too much about their stats. I think that what they're building around, the pieces they're putting together, aren't fitting. They're trying to shove them together, and it's just, you know, the knobs and the spots, you know, the different puzzle pieces, we try to shove it together, it doesn't work. You got to find the ones that fit the right way, and they have not done that. And, you know, because of that, you know, and the reputation that they've had for the bad ownership, bad coaching, all the things that they've had going over the last 20 plus years, you know, I think it hurts bringing in free agents. I think most guys don't want to go there. Besides the weather, it's just like you want to get your ass kicked all the time and not have fun because you hate your teammates. I just think it's been a lot of pieces that have gone wrong for them to keep them from really building up and becoming a good team, just like it was the Cavaliers before LeBron James went back there and changed things. You know, there's certain teams that just the way they run things, the pieces they put together, the lack of success off of those top draft picks, keep them back and keep them, you know, held down instead of letting them build up.
No, it's true. There's a lot of factors that probably roll into it. Man, Wiggins, he wanted to give them the business the other night, huh? What, he dropped 35 on him? Suddenly Wiggins
dropped 35 and posterized Cat twice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, suddenly he shows up. And he's got the kind of talent, and where he was drafted, he should be doing that on a nightly basis. That's how he should be playing. And for years, that's the farthest thing from what he's done. So it's nice that he actually showed up, and made something happen there. After a while. So we'll keep an eye there. They're down 9 26-17. The Lakers lead the T-Wolves. Warriors up one on the Bulls. Any change in the football? Still 13-7. Boise leads Wyoming. -9.5, the live. Live total now down to 34.5. Love that under tonight. I think it was 48.5 in the pregame. And it is a final, Mafia. 2-0 U.S. beats Mexico. And Canada got the win over Costa Rica. So there actually is a three-way tie at the top. 14 points for USA, Canada, and Mexico. And the top three spots automatically qualify. So those three would go to the World Cup right now, which would be very fun.
Big domination by the North America. Well, yeah, North America. They're just killing it between the U.S. and Canada and the Mexico there. Of course, the perennial powerhouse there. But all those other teams are just struggling right now.
They certainly are. The bottom of the hour, we actually have a very big college basketball game. UCLA and Villanova, top five matchup. We welcome all of our radio affiliates right here. Pharrell on the bench on a Friday night. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty on Sports Grid Radio, going through tonight's games, getting ready for the weekend with college football and the NFL. And coming up, Moff, in about 25 minutes, a rare late on the East Coast, 11:30 p.m. tip out at UCLA for the Bruins and the Villanova Wildcats. Both teams in the top five. I saw today this note, earliest in the season, there's been a top five game that was on somebody's home gym. You know, usually you get these at like the Champions Classic the other night. You get them the Maui, all this. This is a top five game that's actually has a true home team. The earliest in the year this has ever happened, and the second earliest is going to be tomorrow night when Texas visits Gonzaga in a late night game. So two really good games here that starts tonight with this Nova UCLA game.
I love it. I think it's great when these teams go out and, you know, play each other early on. I think I hate when you have all these non-conference where it's 10 games. You know, the Syracuse do that all the time of just picking up, you know, all the teams around them in upstate New York and beating up on them. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're undefeated going to conference play and then they lose. You're like, oh, wait, maybe they're not as good as we thought. Well, yeah, when you're beating up on Niagara, you know, everyone could look good. I love that these big teams are going out and challenging themselves because, listen, this isn't football. You know, losses don't matter. It's just you got to get the wins. You got to play a good game. So I like that you're getting these challenging things. And it's not just, hey, I want to go play somewhere else. They're willing to go their home court.
No, and Gonzaga honestly does the best job of it. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on a pain-free Friday night. We'll come back, give you this note on Gonzaga, and then we will get into some of the NFL for this weekend. Pharrell on the bench, Sports Grid Radio, back after this.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
And we are back. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High Mafia in for Scotty here, Sports Grid Radio. Rocking with you on a pain-free Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. A lot of live action going right now as well. I did want to mention, because we're getting ready for this UCLA-Villanova game coming up at the bottom of the hour. So the other top five matches tomorrow night when Texas visits Gonzaga. Now, I give Gonzaga this, Mafia. They play in an absolutely nonsense conference, that West Coast conference, which they basically stroll through every single year for the last 20-plus years and get go right on into the tournament. But I give them credit. They try to play whoever they can in November and December, and it's no different this year. They have number five Texas tomorrow night at home. Later this month, they play UCLA, who's number two right now, who they played in that classic in the Final Four. That game Tuesday night, November the 23rd. They play Duke on Friday, November the 26th, in the Continental Tire Challenge. They also then in December play Alabama, who's ranked 14th right now. They play an in-state game with Washington, the Huskies, out of the Pac-12 in December. They go to Texas Tech to play them. Gonzaga goes and plays teams out of conference, and they know they have to because their conference in January, February is awful.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think for one, you know, they get a lot of respect from these teams, so they're willing to go test themselves against them. They, you know, these other teams are using Gonzaga as a measuring stick, believe it or not, you know, given how well that program has run over the years. And, you know, two, I mean, I guess another thing is, you know, usually when these big conferences are beating up on these other teams, they're beating up on small conference teams. So when you're Gonzaga and you're in the small conference, it's hard to go smaller than you already are. You know, you have to then go find someone else who's either in a small crappy conference, which isn't going to do you any good, or the big boys. And I like how Few has always done that with the schedule, where he's always going to say, hey, we'll play anybody, we'll challenge you. We want to show how good we actually are, you know, and especially, like we said, it's not like football where the loss really hurts you that much. So you might as well go test yourself and get that experience. It looks good on the resume later on, and makes your team that much better, you know, early in the season.
It certainly does. So as always, hat tip to Mark Few and Gonzaga, who after last year, I can't back them again. Getting all the way to the end undefeated and then getting absolutely piped by Baylor in that game. I mean, just awful, awful job by Gonzaga in the national title game. NHL tonight, Mafia. I give you most of the finals before. Sabres beat the Oilers. Good upset there. Leafs beat the Flames in overtime. Austin Matthews, I believe, had the winner. Flyers beat the Canes. That was an upset, 2-1. Capitals beat the Blue Jackets 4-3. Ovi got 742. He's now fourth alone all-time. He passed Brett Hull. He's 152 or 153 goals away from Gretzky. He's going to get it. Be just as sure as I'm sitting here, he is going to get it within the next 3 or 4 years. He'll pass Gretzky and be the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. And the Blackhawks did come through, Mafia, as minus 200 favorites despite their awful record. That's how bad Arizona is, who's now 1-12-1. Jeez, that's some start to the season.
Seriously, when does the NHL just give up on the Arizona Coyotes? I mean, obviously we're not going to move them to certain places. You know, that was the talk of maybe moving a team like them to like Seattle, but Seattle wanted an expansion team. They didn't want to take that, understandably so. But, I mean, how many times have they tried to save this team? You have the whole thing with the arena going on now, ownership, arenas, failure. It's just, why? Just admit it, Gary. This did not work. Yeah. Move them to a city that'll actually do something for them. Move them to Kansas City. Move them to, you know, Quebec City. Move them somewhere else because this experiment's failed.
No, it certainly has. They've done a miserable job, and now they've just been completely gutted. The team is just embarrassing. Now they move them to the Central Division, too. They can't even stay out west. They have to have some of the worst travel in the league now because Seattle came into the league, and they get the cushy spot in that division. So what they should have did was they should have moved Arizona to Seattle. That's what the move was. They should have just picked the franchise up and put them over there. But, you know, then you'd be turning away a very large expansion check from the city of Seattle and the ownership group up there from the Kraken. All right, Moff, we've got a lot of NFL to get into. We have not done any NFL yet. How about this? Since we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, before we'll come back next segment, we'll start going through all the games, say who we like and whatnot. We'll finish this here. The Gruden thing today. We know that Gruden is just an absolute, you know, we saw it. The emails is just a miserable human and he deserved to go. But I will tell you, he's probably going to have a pretty good case with suing the league considering he put in, you know, how come I'm the only one with the emails? The league's probably going to cut a pretty big check to John Gruden.
Yeah, and he's already getting a pretty big check from the Raiders, right? It's amazing how this guy, who should have been fired, had every right to be fired, is somehow going to end up probably in a better situation. Instead of having to coach a team and go through the daily grind and struggle, which I know he probably loves, so it's not like it's a punishment or anything for him to do that, but you know, to have to do everything you do in the NFL on a daily basis, you know, as a head coach of a team like that, he doesn't have to do that. He gets to sit at home and just collect checks and collect checks for tens of millions of dollars. This guy is going to make like $100 million not coaching. It's just embarrassing. And, you know, obviously, we knew how bad that deal was. He lived up to it in no way at all and somehow ends up in a better position. It's just, you know, even the bad guys still win. It's like a movie, you know? You can't win. The good guys don't always win. Sorry.
Even though this guy's basically banished from the league now, he's going to get himself probably a couple big bags of money on his way out the door. Because
this month, listen, the checks are going to still come.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they absolutely are, because he's going to lay it out there. How come I'm the only one? Where are the rest of the emails? It's that simple, and he's going to try to drag the NFL, and the NFL are going to have no choice to say, just give this guy some money and get him out of here. Tell him to shut up. Here's some money. This will never go to any kind of court. They will settle this mafia as sure as I'm sitting here. They're not going to let John Gruden run around and try to smear the great shield of the NFL. They're going to give him that big hush money. Here's your bag, John. Go away. Go on a big fishing trip. Go get a boat. See you later.
Right, because he has nothing better to do, and he has the money to fight them. Does he have NFL, you know, league money? No, but the guy has, like we said, he's probably going to have $100 million between the checks he's going to have off of them and the money that he's going to eventually get from the NFL, plus the money that he made with the Raiders already. So he's got plenty of money to pay lawyers to fight the NFL and do all he wants to smear them and try to, you know, get his revenge, which we know from, you know, the persona that this guy has, that's what he's out for. He's not out there to try to get his job back. He's not out there to clear his name. We all know he did it. He just wants to take more people down with him.
What do we got going on with the fights right now, Mafia? Did Cyborg fight yet? Is she out there yet?
I haven't seen. Actually, I have to check on that one. I'm watching the BKFC there to the co-main event.
What's going on with the BK? What do we got? Any violence yet? Any good violence in the bare knuckle?
Violence, always. Always plenty of violence. There's some nice blood that they just had in the last in the women's fight between Britton Hart and Pearl Gonzalez. That Hart just won by decision. She was gushing some good amount of blood, but still gets the win. It was an awesome fight. They had a knockout before that with the big boys, the heavyweights. So right now we're waiting for the two title fights to come up as I try to go and check on Bellator to see where we're at in that one.
Got to be prop. They just started at 10 or 10:30, so I'm sure that they're not anywhere close to the main event. What do they do the main event by? Midnight East? Is that when they do the main event by?
Probably. Bellator usually goes quicker than the UFC. Don't put as many fights on the main card so that you still get to things relatively early.
Let me, and we're almost out of time here. I'll probably bring this up to you afterwards. Okay, we'll come back and do it. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here, Sports Grid Radio, in for Scotty tonight. We'll come back and start to dive into NFL Week 10, the Sunday matchups here on Sports Grid Radio. We'll keep rolling on the grid right after this.
Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
And we are back for on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio, a little pain-free Friday night, a lot going on. I did want to ask you one more thing, Mafia. Like, why are they doing so many of these Saturdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon now? Is that Abu Dhabi stuff? Why are they doing 4 o'clock so much lately?
No, this week is back in Vegas. I think it's just, you know, because they're doing it on ESPN+. Plus, I'm sure that they have something with ESPN that, you know, try to figure out what the best time is with all the college football going on. I'm sure ESPN doesn't want to pilfer themselves, you know, like the ABC Sunday, Saturday night game, or what, you know, all the other stuff they have going with the NHL now, the NBA. So they probably set the time and say, listen, these weeks we want to do it earlier, and that's what they're doing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I've just noticed. I feel like every other week now, like, yeah, it's a 4 o'clock start, 4 o'clock start. Seems like a very weird time. But I guess the big MMA fan is going to show up no matter what, right, Mafia? I mean, whether it's 4 o'clock or midnight, they're going to be there. So I guess that's
yeah, and plus when it's these kind of cards that are on ESPN+, Plus, you can always get, you can watch that later on, too. If you are tied up with something else, you know, you at least have the replays on the Plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Plus does allow you that that to be able to do that. Let's start diving into NFL week number 10 before we get out of here tonight. We'll roll through all the games here before we take off. The Jaguars into Indianapolis to take on the Colts. We know the Carson Wentz baby situation. He doesn't care if his wife goes into labor. He's playing in this game. The Jaguars coming off a big win at home over the Bills. So this could be a little letdown spot for them. Indy minus 10.5. Total 47.5. I like the Colts big this week, Mafia. I think they see everything going on around the AFC. They know they got four wins. Hey, we can jump ourselves back up into the mix.
Yeah, I mean, 10.5 is a little big for me to lay with them. Not that I think they're the greatest team, but they are solid. They have an awesome, obviously, Taylor is an incredible running back, one of the best in the league, I think. I think that their defense is solid. They're not as good as they were a couple of years ago. So I think they are obviously a much better team than the Jaguars. Notwithstanding what the Jaguars did to your Bills last week, I think that was a great performance by them. I don't see them doing it 2 weeks in a row, and I think the Colts roll them.
Yeah, me too. It's just they had such a huge effort on Sunday. Colts with a little bit of extra rest after playing the Thursday night game against the Jets. Good spot for Indianapolis for me. Cleveland heads to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. We know the story here. No Nick Chubb for the Browns on the COVID list. It'll be D'Ernest Johnson who is going to carry the mail for Baker Mayfield and company. The Patriots are back, baby. The last few weeks, couple road wins in L.A. and Carolina. They've won 3 in a row now. They're 5-4. Everybody's pumping up the Patriots again. Here we go. Minus 2.5 and a total of 45. I love the under in this game, Mafia.
We got to start pumping the brakes. The Patriots are back. Come on. Oh, the defense is playing well.
Listen, I don't believe that, but there's a lot of people who do believe that.
Of course, everybody up in New England is going to drink that Kool-Aid as quickly as they could. Watch out, though. Don't join the cult. You know, we end up with sneakers and a big headache after that. I think that, you know, obviously the Charger win was an impressive win, but is beating the Panthers or the Jets twice or the Texans once really that impressive? Those are some of the worst teams in the NFL. Mac Jones is playing well. The defense is playing strong. I think this is a different animal, though. You know, even though they are at home, I think the Browns are a much better team. Even if with Johnson running the ball, I know that it's not the same level as Hunter Chubb, but we saw this guy can do very well, and he did it against a good defense in Denver. I think Mayfield's shoulder's getting a little bit better. The addition by subtraction of OBJ out of there to stop, you know, ticking everybody off about crying, not catching the ball. And, of course, that defense is going to be in the face of Jones all day. So I think the Browns win this game, you know, by close to a touchdown, if not over that. I'm surprised that it's only 2.5. I don't care if they're the road team.
Yeah, I'm on the Browns as well. I think the Browns are going to come in and be very physical with the Patriots. You're right about some of the teams that the Patriots have gotten their wins against. I'm not pumping them up. It's like I said to Kaplan, I mean, come on. We had 20 years of greatness here. Can we go a couple more years before we have to put them back at the top? I mean, they only had one year missing the playoffs last year. Can we get a couple of years where they're on the down? I think the Browns do. They're the more physical team. I think their defense is going to get to Mac Jones on Sunday. Give me Cleveland, but especially that under. This game's got like 16-13 type of game written all over it. The Falcons are going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Interesting movement here, Mafia. This was 9 this afternoon when I talked to Dane on Coast to Coast, and I was saying I was wavering with the 9. I wish I went and got it because now it's 7.5. This has moved down 1.5. Do we have any word on why that has happened? I have to go look right now what the movement is. 54.5 is the total. I like the Cowboys more at 7.5. I was leaning towards the Falcons with 9.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys, you know, especially where it is. Even at the 9, I think for as good as the Falcons have been at times, they've had some good games. Again, it's against bad teams. The Saints without their quarterback, the Dolphins over in London, the Jets were in London, the Dolphins in Miami, and even that one was a tight game. You know, you barely beat the Giants when they were terrible early on. And then losing to teams like Carolina, losing to Washington, and the Eagles, they got beaten down by week one. I think this is still the same Falcons, despite the change in coach, despite, you know, the change in some of the personnel with Julio gone. Now you have Ridley out. It's the same old Falcons in the way that you can put up points, but you can't trust them. The Cowboys, after losing that game last week, need to make a statement here, and I think they destroy them.
Yeah, I leaned Falcons for most of the week, but if this thing's going to get any lower, I don't know. This is tough. I think the Falcons are spunky. the last few weeks. They are definitely a little spunky, but the Cowboys can't have awful performance like they had last week again. I think they're going to get something going. Maybe the over is really the way to go in that game. The Bills are into MetLife on Sunday against your Jets, Mafia. Now, let me get your take on this, because I've brought this up the past couple days, the Zach Wilson, Mike White thing. Now, I get it. New York loves an underdog story, Mafia. You know this, being in town, whether it's Linsanity, you can go on and on. They love an underdog story. But here's your problem. You have a quarterback who's the second overall pick in the draft. He gets hurt. This guy comes in. He's won one game, was playing okay in the other until he got hurt. The locker room cheers for him. The fans are going wild for him. Like, look, I think he could be in big trouble against Buffalo on Sunday, and I secretly think that Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are thinking the same way.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think loud. That's... It is getting loud. I think that's, you know, part of the reason they're throwing White out there and they're not rushing, they're not rushing Wilson back is because he is the future. And as well as the guy played against Cincinnati, they still got their butts kicked by the Colts. Okay, he got hurt. I don't think they were really still in that game. I was watching. I don't think they were going to do anything in that game with him in there or make some valiant comeback or stay in it. They're going to get their doors blown off and they're going to come back down to earth with him here against Buffalo. They're going to get slaughtered by the Bills. This guy can think he should have been the number one overall pick, but he wasn't. He was a fifth-round pick. There was like 12 guys at that same position drafted before him, including terrible Sam Darnold that the Jets took and have gotten rid of since. So I think it's just a lot of, you know, them getting hyped up off some guy playing good that you didn't expect. It's, you know, Linsanity-esque. And eventually the other shoe is going to drop. He's going to come back down to earth. And they're going to forget about him because Wilson is the starter. There is no controversy. Wilson is the guy they drafted. That's the one that they put everything into. And he's a rookie. This guy's, what, third or fourth year guy. So he should be better than the guy that they just drafted who's played five games. And I like how Wilson's handled it. He's been like, listen, I'm a rookie. I should be a college senior right now. Like, I'm not even fully an adult here. I need to grow up. And I will, and he's taking it, you know, with a positive light, I think.
I mean, yeah, but you know how it works around here, Moff. This guy somehow, some way, and I sure as hell hope it doesn't happen for my team, he somehow, some way wins on Sunday. And he's 2-0. You know, listen, you want to say 2-1, he did start the Colt game technically. He didn't finish it. But you know how these fans work, and they are going to go bananas wanting to see him keep playing. It's just the nature of the beast in this town. But let's just hope the Bills put an end to all that and they just have a nice, neat little 45-10 win over the Jets on Sunday. You can pick them off a couple times. Bills need a big get-right game. This has gone back to 13. Do the Jets cover the 13, Mafia, on Sunday?
No, they don't. You know, if this was a game where maybe there's... If the Bills were coming in here sleeping on Mike White or, you know, not knowing what this guy could do, we're sleeping on the Jets because they just rolled last week against Jacksonville, maybe. But this team now has gotten slapped in the face and people are doubting them after propping them up all year, you know. So they need to prove it. They need to make a statement and they need to show that they are, you know, 10 times better than the Jets.
Yeah, I can't imagine them showing up and playing the way that they did last week against Jacksonville. They're going to have a much better performance, I believe. The Warriors are starting to pull away from the Bulls a little bit here. Now an 11-point lead as they are into the second half. They are tipping now between Villanova and UCLA. Let me take a look at what's going on with the Lakers before we get to break here. Lakers up 7, getting close to halftime at Staples, 47-40. They lead the Timberwolves right now. Boise still with a 13-7 lead on Wyoming, 8 minutes left in the fourth. God, that was such a great under tonight. Oh, such a great under between Wyoming and Boise State. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back, go through the rest of the NFL games. Keep rolling on the grid right after this.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You are listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
And we are back. Farrell on the Bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. Getting ready for the weekend, taking a look at everything going on live. Warriors now up 17 on the Bulls. 7 minutes to go in the third quarter as they are starting to put the whooping on them. Boise State has scored a touchdown. Now a 20-7 lead on Wyoming with about 7.5. So right on the number. The pregame was 13.5. So sitting right there, we're going to try to eke that out, but we are definitely going to get the under, which was 48.5 in that game. Okay, Moff, we'll keep churning through the NFL here. Let's now go to the Saints and the Titans in Tennessee. We spoke about this a lot today on Coast to Coast. A lot of injuries. Of course, Alvin Kamara going to be out for the Saints. They're starting Trevor Siemian. The Titans, we already know, no Henry. We'll see about Julio Jones, etc. Here's the problem for me with this game, Mafia. The Titans have won as an underdog the last 4 weeks. Now they come home. They're -2.5. They were -3 yesterday, and we get the Kamara news today, and it goes half a point towards the Saints. I don't care who the Saints are playing, Mafia. This is going to be one of these strict, I don't care about the players on the field. I'm just playing the numbers. Everybody's on the Titans, and this thing moves half a point towards the Saints. I'm just playing numbers. I'm taking New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't get the line movement at all in that direction. You would have thought of it the other way. I mean, you had me on the Titans had me when you mentioned Trevor Siemian, let alone now that Kamara's out too. I don't get how people think that throwing Ingram in there is going to make them better and more dynamic and make him worth a half a point. It just doesn't make sense to me at all unless there's some kind of injury news on the Titans side that we're not getting. But as far as, you know, the big one obviously was Henry last week, which we knew, and they performed pretty darn well without him. So I am all over the Titans in this. I know they don't perform as well as a favorite as they do an underdog, but at home against a beyond banged up Saints team, of course, still no Michael Thomas for the whole year after his injury, no Kamara, no even famous Jameis. You think, you know, Taysom Hill is going to be enough to keep them in this game? I don't.
Yeah, no, believe me, the logic says Titans. Logic 100% says Titans, but there's something illogical about this spread, and I will take the illogical side with the reverse line movement and go with the New Orleans Saints here. The Tampa Bay Bucks off of the bye go to where they started their Super Bowl run last year in Washington against the football team. -9.5 for Tampa, total of 51. Yeah, I think they're going to rack them, quite honestly, Mafia. I think that they saw Heinicke last year. They're fresh off a bye. They still got some guys banged up. No AB, no Gronk. We'll see on Godwin. I don't think it matters. I think that Tampa is good enough on both sides of the ball where they can win this game by 14 to 20 points.
Listen, this is not the Washington team that they faced in the playoffs. Heinicke has been found out a little bit. That defense that was so great for them last year is not performing up to par at all. This was supposed to be one of the top defenses in the league, and they have not been. They've gotten lit up. But that being said, the Bucks haven't been great on the road. You know, I'm going to take the points here because they're going to get the win. But now let's look at the road games here. Rams, they got smoked by 10. Patriots, they only win by 2. Eagles, they only win by 6. Saints last week with a banged up Saints team, you know, they win by 9 on that one. So I'm not believing that they can cover this and win by double digits, even though they should. They should slaughter them, blow them out. You know, this should be over at halftime. But this one, where you talk about the numbers, well, the numbers for the Bucks on the road don't end up to me thinking they win by double digits.
No, and I get it. And let's also think about this too, Mafia, from this aspect. I mean, dogs are alive right now. I mean, the dogs between last week and last night, I mean, dogs are on fire. These teams getting big numbers have really been making it happen. And 9.5 for a team at home, you know, the home dogs have been barking. That's for sure. So that's something to think about when you talk about the WFT against Tampa coming up on Sunday. Another big spread here, the Lions getting 8.5 in Pittsburgh. Scotty will be at the game. It was 9 a couple days ago, down to 8.5. 42.5 is the total. Similar situation. It's just, you know, the Steelers had a 14-point lead on the Bears Monday night. Bears aren't a good football team. They let them back in the game in the fourth quarter. Gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter to them. The Lions aren't as good as the Bears, but the Lions have had some games this year where they fought all the way to the end. They're coming off a bye, and the Steelers have a short week. That plays into it no matter how big the talent gap is. I kind of want to take the Lions with the 8.5, Mafia, but I'm probably going to shy away from it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to put my money on it. If I'm going to make a pick, I'm leaning with the Lions as well in this, because even though they have gotten shellacked by some bad teams, I mean, that Eagles loss last week was just the last game, not last week, but 2 weeks ago was the most embarrassing thing I think anybody's had happen to them in the NFL this year, because that is not a good Eagles team, and they ran them from pillar to post. And you saw it in Campbell after the game. He just like, he wouldn't have done this, but it almost seemed like the guy was ready to cry, like, because he was so frustrated. There were no answers that he could be given. You know, it's like, I don't know. We did everything wrong. I don't know where we fix this, because it was just such a bad game. So, you know, they are a terrible team. But the Steelers in this four-game winning streak, they had a great game against the Bills week one, but the four games they've won since, they haven't beaten anybody by that much. You know, they've 8 points against the Broncos, 3 against the Seahawks, 5 against the Browns, and 2 against the Bears. Like I said, with that comeback, I'm going to take the cover here. I think the Lions come back and get some backdoor points in this game, and they end up covering that 8, but they're still going to lose the game.
Weird game out in Los Angeles between the Chargers and the Vikings. It's one of those games where, you know, it's two teams you can never trust, especially in these lines that are, you know, between 2 and 4. You just never trust the Vikings and the Chargers. And now here we go. Big total, 53.5. Like, it's just like last week. It's like one of those games where the Vikings are like, who can back them? And then they'll end up giving you a big performance against the Chargers. Very weird game to bet, Mafia. I think it's a game you need to do in-game or just try to find a little angle with the total, which I actually do think is going to angle to the under.
Yeah, this is a game that I would agree with you, where it's very dangerous to bet a pregame. It's a weird line, and these teams just have been so different from one week to the next. You can't tell sometimes. I mean, that Charger loss to the Patriots, it was kind of mind-boggling. And then, you know, they barely beat the Eagles last week. But after games like where they, you know, had the shootout with the Browns, and they beat up on the Raiders, and they, you know, they have had some impressive wins. And then some of these games that they've played since are like, really? That's what you did? That's what, you know, this offense that you have, this defense is supposed to be stacked. Meanwhile, the Vikings have been all over the place. The Vikings are, you know, Jekyll and Hyde completely. Some games they're scoring 30 points. Some games they're scoring no points. So you never know what's going to happen with that team. I think it is a one that you have to look at and maybe see if you can find some kind of in-game line that fits your desires, or, you know, maybe fits what you think. Maybe tease it. If you tease it up to the Vikings getting, you know, 9.5, 10 points, maybe I could go with them then on the cover. Or if you tease it with the Chargers getting points, maybe go that way. But the better play might be the total. To me, I think it's an over. I know you're trending towards the under, but with both these teams giving up a bunch of points to bad teams lately, I don't trust their defenses. I'll go with the over.
Carolina visits Arizona this week. Of course, Cam Newton back with the Panthers. Offensive coordinator Joe Brady wasn't shy today. Said there's a chance he could get a couple of snaps. I mean, right off the street, boom, put him in. That shows you what they think of P.J. Walker. We don't know what the deal is with Arizona with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins yet. I have a feeling, Mafia, that if Murray doesn't play, which it sounds like he's going to, but if Murray doesn't play, this probably gets into the 8-9 range in terms of the spread. And if they, when they finally announce he is, I could see it shoot up to around 11 or 12. So I think it's kind of in the middle gray area right now as we await the final news on Sunday of whether Murray's going to be in the lineup. I think that I got to take Arizona here. Carolina, long trip. Walker, couple plays from Cam, not going to be enough. McCaffrey, they haven't used him right since he's come back. I think Arizona gets it done, even if Murray doesn't play.
Yeah, this team looks out of sorts lately after everyone's so hot on the first 3 weeks talking about how great Sam Darnold looked, and they have fallen flat on their face since. And it has been, you know, bad losses too. It's not even close. Getting almost shut out by the Giants, getting beat down by the Patriots. You know, they're not exactly losing to the top teams here. You know, the Eagles beat them. I think this is a team that is on the downfall, obviously, especially with the, you know, the main quarterback going down, and Sam Darnold's bad as he's been. PJ Walker now coming in here. I don't think he's exciting. He can make some good plays, but I don't think he's very consistent. Doesn't take care of the ball. I think this is going to be an ugly game, even if you don't get those guys in there. So what Arizona could do, just running the ball down your throat with that defense last week. I don't love that big number. Maybe you tease it down, but I think that they should win by that, even if you don't get Kyler Murray starting.
The Seahawks will get Russell Wilson back. The Packers will get Aaron Rodgers back. They meet in Lambeau Field, late window, 4:25 p.m. Eastern. On Sunday, Seattle getting 3.5 right now. 49.5 is the total. I love the over in this game, Mafia. I think there's a lot of points. I think that it does go down to the end, and I'm leaning towards the Seahawks with that extra hook there at 3.5.
I'm leaning Packers. I'm going Packers. This line is very fishy to me. I don't know. You know, maybe there's got to be something that I'm not seeing here. Maybe they just assume that Aaron Rodgers not practicing for the last 2 weeks is going to make him be rusty and not that good. But when has that guy ever had problems just stepping on the field and slinging it? He knows those receivers. He knows what to do with them. You know, it doesn't matter who you put out there. We saw when half the receiving corps was out with COVID and injuries. He can just make it happen. Wilson, I got to see what he can do with that finger. You know, it's not like this guy's been playing for 5 weeks straight. He's been out for 5 weeks. He's got some practice here, but he's going to have to grip the ball different. It's going to feel weird, and that defense hasn't done anything to be impressive to me yet again. So as good as he is, they have no run game. They have no defense. And, you know, on the other side is Aaron Rodgers at home with, you know, rusting for the last 10 days. I'm going to take the Packers to cover that easy.
There you go. Little Packers for Mafia. I'll be on the over in that game, 49.5. The Eagles are in Denver to take on the Broncos. Another weird line. It's hard for me to back either of these teams. I talk so badly about both of them on a weekly basis, Mafia. I mean, these are probably two of the five teams that I spit the most. When we're talking about teams around the league, I can't stand either of them. I like the under 45.5. I don't expect much offense between these two.
Yeah, I'm surprised this line is where it's sitting. I mean, the Broncos are coming off a great win. Are they the team we saw at the beginning of the season? No. But they just dominated one of the better teams in the NFC and the Cowboys on the road. The Eagles are Jekyll and Hyde. Well, not even Jekyll and Hyde. They're terrible. They have some good offensive performances, but they can't stop anybody. I think it's going to be a little bit of a slugfest, but that the Broncos still control pretty easily and win this one. The 1.5 number is very weird to me, and it's probably an under.
Yeah, I like the under in that game. Don't see much points there. We'll come back, Mafia, and we will rip through the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Raiders. And, of course, me and you will be here on the bench Monday night for the Rams and the 49ers. We're on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here, Sports Grid Radio. We will come back and wrap it up on the grid right after this.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
And we're back. Frel on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on Sports Grid Radio. As we are about to get out of here quickly, Mafia. Chiefs and the Raiders Sunday night. Good game. Chiefs -2.5, 52 the total. I like the over, and I like the Raiders to win it outright.
Yeah, it's a tough one. These two teams have been all over the map at times. I think that, you know, if you're going to go over who looks better, the Raiders have looked better. The Chiefs defense still hasn't shown me enough to make me think that they could stop anybody. I know the Raiders are going through their things with, you know, first you had Gruden, now you have Ruggs, but I think they are going to, you know, get focused, get right, and win this game here at home.
So there you go. NFL Week 10 coming up on Sunday. Mafia, the Warriors are now opened up on the Bulls 86-62 as they're going to the fourth quarter, a beatdown in Frisco. The T-Wolves now lead the Lakers 54-51 in the third quarter. The T-Wolves, I'm sure they'll blow that. UCLA leads Villanova 17-10. They're still only halfway through the first half out at Pauley. All the hockey is done tonight. Boise State has a 13-point lead on Wyoming, under looking good in that one. Mafia, enjoy the rest of the fights tonight and tomorrow night. Good luck this weekend with all your tickets. I will see you on Monday, my man.
Looking forward to it. It should be a good weekend of sports. Hopefully we get a lot better winners than we got in the last couple of weeks with some of these upsets, and I'll see you on Monday.
All right. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High Mafia, in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. Have a good weekend, everybody.